This is episode 259 of the Prepper Website Podcast, where I connect you with resources that will help you live a more self-reliant life. Today's articles are One of the World's Most Useful Skills and Prep for Hard Times, Why You Need an Offline Side Gig Business Now. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily curation of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Before we get started, you can make sure that you get the Prepper Website Podcast delivered to your preferred device without fail. We make it very easy for you to subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or any other favorite podcast network. And if you do feel you are receiving value from the podcast, we do appreciate your kind reviews. Guys, I want to start out really quickly. I mentioned the coupon code for the Survival Hacks flashlight, and I received mine today. And looking at it, I suspected this. Looking at it really carefully, it is the same flashlight that I talked about, you know, during my Hurricane Harvey situation that we had here. And how much I enjoyed that flashlight, and it was one of those, they just were very bright and had that rechargeable battery. It's the same exact flashlight. It just has different branding. And so, you know, that one, the one that I purchased when I looked it up again, it was $15.99, and it didn't come with all the like the extra battery and everything. You had to buy those separately. Now, there's other ones on Amazon that you can look for, and you can even buy two for, you know, like $14.99, but they don't come with the batteries and the chargers and all that kind of stuff. This one does come. It's the flashlight, it's the battery, the rechargeable battery, and the charger for $9.99. And you can get that coupon code in the show notes. And so if you want to go get one of those, it's one of those, you know, flashlights that you're gonna love. So if you're looking for another flashlight, this is one that you definitely want to have. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into our first article of the podcast. It comes to us from survivalblog.com, and the title of the article is One of the World's Most Useful Skills. My father impressed upon me a useful skill that has saved my life on more than one occasion, whether it be traveling on dangerous highways in the saddle of a motorcycle or watching for a gun in the hands of a suspect. Constant and consistent situational awareness is a critical survival skill. When the grid shutters to a stop or money becomes more useful as toilet paper than currency, our exercise of practical situational awareness will mean the difference between life and death on a daily basis. This is why we should take actionable steps to continually hone this perishable skill. First and foremost, it is important to understand that situational awareness is at the basis of almost everything we do. It will help determine the choices we make and the situations we find ourselves in. For example, a veteran police officer once asked me a hypothetical question. What is the best way to win any gunfight? The answer he gave was simple. He said never end up in a gunfight in the first place. His point was that many dangerous situations can be completely avoided if we are aware of our surroundings and know what to look for. If we have our eyes up and head on a swivel, when we are walking down the street, we are more apt to spot potential dangers ahead of time. Then we can anticipate them and take appropriate action. To be truly situationally aware means to be present in the moment and constantly taking in the world around you. This principle sounds simple. However, it may be harder now more than ever to engage in this practice because technology is everywhere we turn. In our homes, in our cars, in our offices, and in our pockets, we have screens that are built to capture our undivided attention. Obviously, after the collapse of our modern society, we will have fewer of these technological distractions, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't work towards developing this skill now so that it comes as a second nature when it is needed most. Professionals who deal with dangerous individuals on a daily basis, such as law enforcement officers and our military members, rely heavily on situational awareness to stay safe on the job. An important situational awareness tactic that they can teach us is to always try and put yourself in a position with the observational advantage. For example, Most cops will always put their back to a wall while eating in a restaurant. This is so they can subtly monitor the entrances and exits to give themselves the best possible edge if a threat were to present itself. Along these same lines, many military members will advocate setting up outposts on the high ground whenever available. This ensures that they have 360 degrees of observational coverage. Their high vantage point will allow them to spot hostile actors as far in advance as possible. Another awareness tactic military and law enforcement officers use is to always be on the lookout for what is going to actually reach out and hurt you. This is why officers will ask you to take your hands out of your pocket or to put them on the steering wheel during a traffic stop. An individual's hands are what is likely going to pose the threat to your personal safety. A constant awareness of what they are doing or where they are can give you more time to react if they were to attempt to harm you. These tactics are simple and can be easily practiced on a daily basis. The next time you sit down at a restaurant or wait in line at a grocery store, try practicing counting the exits and standing in a position that you can observe others without putting your back to individuals. See if you can keep track of what people around you are doing with their hands. You can take this process a step further by asking yourself, what would I do if the man in front of me in line pulls out a gun instead of a wallet? By running through these hypotheticals, you can set yourself up to react in a moment's notice. Another critical tactic for developing situational awareness is to look for what doesn't belong or doesn't fit in with the current situation. Your gut instinct can be extremely helpful, especially when you ask yourself what doesn't seem normal. For example, when you look out into a crowd of people during the summer, it wouldn't make sense for an individual to be dressed in a thick, winter weight trench coat. If a situation or a person doesn't feel right, pay close attention to this feeling. Oftentimes, this is our instinct trying to warn us of danger. Gavin De Becker's book, The Gift of Fear, offers many lessons on how we can train ourselves to be more aware of our body's natural ability to sense danger. Additionally, his book covers a wide variety of situations and signs to look for in individuals that could mean us harm. By familiarizing yourself with these signs and behaviors, we can not only be aware of potential dangers, but also work towards anticipating them before they occur. Therein, we can respond appropriately. It is critical that we pay attention to behaviors that are out of the ordinary. They may give you insight about the true motivations of why an individual is there. Law enforcement officers use this tactic regularly to help identify suspects. For example, one of the main reasons that the Boston Marathon bombers were identified was because their behavior stood out from the crowd. When the first bomb initially went off, everyone in the crowd turned to look towards the explosion. However, the man who planted the bomb turned and began to move in the opposite direction. In the first few seconds after a loud explosion, our natural instinct is to look towards what made the noise. However, the bomber already knew what made the noise of the explosion. Since turning away was a completely unnatural reaction and didn't fit with the current situation, it gave observers critical insight on the individual's motive for being there. The Boston bombing may be an extreme example, but it lends its authority to how constant and consistent situational awareness can give us key insight on the motivations of those around us. As the dangers around us increase, so should our level of awareness. After a collapse in the rule of law, looting, rioting, and other forms of crime tend to become exponentially more prevalent. Some concrete actions you may want to consider to bolster your situational awareness can be to set up a listening observation post around your residence or camp. If the manpower is available, these posts can be and should be staffed 24/7 to ensure that your family or group always has someone keeping a lookout for possible dangers, such as hostile actors or hazardous weather. When possible, these lookout posts should incorporate 360 degrees of observational coverage. They should also be difficult to spot by approaching individuals. In urban environments, attics, treehouses, and top floors of abandoned buildings could be used. Additionally, screens or camouflage netting can also be used to conceal lookout posts. In rural environments, observation posts can be constructed from deer blinds, holes dug into the earth with natural foliage covers, and above-ground shelters built from readily available materials in your environment. When considering where to place and how to construct these lookout posts, it may be helpful to also think about how your spotters can quickly evacuate and alert the rest of the group. If possible, the use of whistles, horns, sirens, bird calls, or radios can also contribute to your collective situational awareness. These tools can be used to give your group a way to communicate impending danger without giving hostile actors a complete picture of what your response might be. For example, you may tell your family that 3 sharp blasts from your whistle means there are armed individuals immediately headed your way. Hearing those whistle blasts should prompt them to get into their defensive positions. Alternatively, radios can give you a sense of situational awareness over a much larger distance. For those of us who may choose to homestead in remote locations, a working knowledge of radios can be used to communicate with your local group members. We could use radios to communicate our efforts to scout out resources or alert of possible threats headed in your direction. Unfortunately, not everyone has the luxury of having others on guard while we sleep. This does not mean we can't take steps to bolster our awareness of our surroundings. An inexpensive and effective tool to alert you of approaching individuals has been to set sound traps or trip wires. These can be as simple as a wire with cans strung up at the ankle height around your campsite. If your trip wire is set off, it will make a considerable noise to warn you of intruders. This can also be done in homes or hotels by stacking glass cups, cans, or bells near doors or window ledges. The trick is to set these items up so that they will easily be knocked over if the door or window is open. This advanced warning time will give you a chance to prepare for whatever may be headed your way. Another useful tip that can alert you if someone has been in your office, home, car, or hotel is to set small objects subtly in very specific place. Your specific placement lets you know if they have been moved since you last visited that area. Place a small string or folded slip of paper closed in a car door. Place it so that if the door is opened, it falls to the ground. This can be an effective method to see if your vehicle has been tampered with. If you have an office that can't be locked, it may be helpful to arrange papers and pens in a specific order that only you will notice if they have been shuffled around or adjusted. For example, place pens exactly 1 inch away from the edge of your desk or mouse pad. This is a way of making it easy to spot if someone has played with your mouse or gone through your desk, as this movement will likely shift the pen from its precise placement. If not practiced, situational awareness is a perishable skill. Therefore, it may be helpful to play awareness games with yourself or your family and friends. One common method of doing this while out and about is to play the license plate game. This is a game that teaches you to not only look for vehicles, but also pay attention to the small details about them as well. Growing up, my father would ask us to play this game by noticing the numerics on out-of-state plates on vehicles around us while driving down the road. He made the game more complex by asking us also to be able to recite the color, make, and model of the vehicle so that he knew we were truly actively participating in our own situational awareness. The trick to making these games effective is that they require us not to just observe our environment, but actively pay attention to the details in it. Games like this can make increasing your family's situational awareness fun while also training them to actively take in the world unfolding around them. Finally, it is important to remember that a healthy curiosity and situational awareness are different from paranoia. It isn't healthy or realistic to be in the mindset that everyone is out to harm us. Situational awareness is different from paranoia because it takes a down-to-earth approach to perceiving the world around. We practice this so that we can put ourselves in the best possible position of advantage if a threat to our safety should materialize. In summary, it takes practice to be truly situationally aware. By engaging in these activities, we can give ourselves the best possible edge during uncertain times. All right, guys. So just, you know, this is that survival blog. So there's a lot of comments. There's 32 comments here that you can go check out. Important topic. I like the point that they brought out technology. How many times do you see people just buried in their phones, and then they wind up hitting something or whatever that might, you know? And I got to be honest, that's happened to me. Just kind of sometimes walking or in my house, I've run into the sofa or something like that because I was I was looking down at my phone or whatever. So that's something that we really need to train ourselves to be paying attention. That's something that I try to do more and more of that on a regular basis. And I think that's important, especially with the times that we're living in. Things can get really crazy really fast. And I think there's a lot of desperate people out there just because of the economy and how much things cost. And just because people want an easy way out and they don't want to work for a living. So if they can steal and rob and those kinds of things, they'll do that. And so I just think it's very valuable to put a little bit of effort into your situational awareness as you're out there, looking at your home. And what does your home look like compared to other homes in the neighborhood? If a thief was to come through or come down your road, would they stop at your house or would they keep going? And if they would keep going, why? What is it about your home that's doing that? And then you're just situationally, so you're not just situationally aware when you are, out there and concerned about threats to yourself right at that moment. You're situationally aware of a lot of other things. And that's one reason why, like I said, your home and all the other things that are going on. But again, that's one reason why I always say, stay prepped and aware, because there's so many things going on there, not just in what's happening in your world, but what's happening all over the world. And all those things kind of play into part into our preparedness and how we prepare. So good article over there at survivalblog.com. Again, it's entitled One of the World's Most Useful Skills. So go check that out. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into our second article of the podcast. All right, this second article comes to us from edthatmatters.com, and that's my personal website. And it's entitled Prep for Hard Times, Why You Need an Offline Side Gig Business Now. And so this is actually a guest post by Derek Tuitt, and I have received a lot of guest posts throughout the years from Derek. I trust the articles that are sent in, and so when I saw this one, I was very pleased because I think this is one of those topics that those of us who are in preparedness really need to be thinking about. Not only being prepared, but having that side gig, having a side business. Something that we can do to earn money, I think it's very important. And then if you can tie that into your preparedness and all those different, if it's something even offline that you can do, even if the world was to head downhill, then that's even a bigger plus because that's a skill and that's a business that you can really, that will really pay off. No matter what is going on, no matter what the economy is doing, no matter what kind of world we live in, that's one of those things that would be great to have and great to know. And so now is the time to be doing that. If you had a little bit of extra money, what would you be doing with that? And possibly paying down debt and then using it to purchase, preparedness supplies. Definitely. And so I hope this is one that will inspire you because I think everybody, no matter who you are, you have the ability to have a side gig out there. You have the ability to have a side business. And so, I'll come back to that at the end of this article. So let's go ahead and just start reading this one. Are you earning enough money to pay off all your prepping needs? Do you have enough money in your cash stash for a bug out? Do you have a mountain of debt that holds you back from fill in the blank? Almost everyone I know needs more money to accomplish what they have to do, whether it be for prepping items, to pay down personal debt, purchase that getaway land in the American Redoubt area, or simply pay their monthly living expenses. With the escalating financial and political situation looking like it's heating up, as we head into the midterm elections, overcoming debt, getting personal finances in order, and paying for those extra survival products should now be a priority. To solve your personal cash crunch, you need a way to make some money as quickly as possible, and I advise you to do this offline as soon as possible. One of the fastest and easiest ways to earn extra money is by starting a part-time side gig business. Why am I advising you to start an offline business ASAP? Because the recent and, as of the date of this writing, ongoing roller coaster ride of the stock market may just be going through the start of a slow motion tailspin, the effects of which will catch up to all of us in due time as it ripples through the world's economy. Also, the cost of living is not going down, contrary to the good news about American energy independence due to vastly increased output from less regulation, thank you, President Trump. Gasoline and other energy prices still tend to rise and fall based on demand, and here in the U.S., we see them rise ahead of active travel days, like national holidays and due to seasonal weather variations in use. The cost of food is also not going down, and there are seasonal prices increase every winter just to get the food delivered by semi-trailer trucks and drivers working in extreme winter weather conditions. These are all good examples of reasons why you need an offline side gig business ASAP to help you get more money now. But the real reason why is only beginning to be seen as politics plays an ever-increasing and unwelcome role in our personal economic lives. Since 9/11, we have seen how technology has been used by the government to consolidate and control citizens. Our own NSA and Homeland Security have been given enormous powers of surveillance. Media of all kinds has also got on board, and during the Obama years, we saw more of an unholy alliance begin to form between online social media corporations and government, specifically left-leaning governments. We see news reports about how, without much of a fight, Facebook, Google, YouTube, Twitter, all American-based corporations have abandoned the rights guaranteed people under the American Constitution when communist socialist countries have made it a condition to limit their own citizens' access to information provided by these online companies. They compromised free and open speech in order to acquire access to new markets and/or acquire more market share in those respective nations. They sold out their ideals for market share. More ominously, here at home, conservative and Christian Americans are under increasing unfair scrutiny by social media review committees and speech algorithm scrutiny, the results of which are stripping out the so-called objectionable content in favor of a socially engineered, exclusive, left-leaning content. The result is the elimination of Christian and conservative viewpoints from the internet, with the results, perhaps the intent, of driving them out of business or greatly reducing their influence. This stuff seems straight out of George Orwell's 1984, and it's not going away. Hey guys, and just a quick side note, that's one reason why I always talk about, you know, I use social media. I use it up until the time, you know, at one point, you know, I know I've heard of Christians and conservatives that they're taking, you know, they close down their YouTube channels and Twitters and things like that. If whoever they shut down has a big enough following, they make enough racket, and then all of a sudden YouTube will say, oh, that was an accident, or Twitter will say, no, that wasn't meant to be, right? And so they always bring them back. But if they're smaller and they don't have such a big following that can make that ruckus, then, you know, they're just gone, and that's just the way it is. And so you know, eventually I believe that they will start moving to doing that towards those that are in the Patriot movement, those that are in the preparedness movement, because there's a lot of crossover on a lot of these things here. And so I believe it's probably just a matter of time. And so I know that the reach that I have on social media at one point might not be as strong as it is right now. And so that's one reason why I believe in the email list. And that's why I believe in, you know, maintaining that. And hopefully, you know, you are a member of the email list, and you can just go to any of the websites, and you can you know, sign up for it, and you'll get it. And I don't always, You know, I try to at least send once a week, but sometimes I don't. I mean, I've been known to not send an email for like 3 weeks, right? And so just, you know, FYI, that's one reason why I believe the email list is so important. So if there was a need to communicate with you, that I would be able to do that through email and not necessarily through social media. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on. New internet-based technologies being brought to the market involve using your personal data captured by social media with every keystroke you make on your computer. This information is being used to develop predictive models that ultimately could be used by a hostile government to determine what your political and religious beliefs are, and then treat you accordingly. When coupled with home electricity smart meters, now mandated nearly everywhere, automobile tracking devices, electronic surveillance via street cams, smartphones, and in every HDTV, police and other government agencies can conceivably monitor your life both inside and outside your home 24/7, 365. If this doesn't bother you, it should. In 2018, we may see emerge the beginnings of an even greater matrix of censorship, control, and surveillance over our lives in ways we couldn't even imagine just 3 years ago. There is research going on right now to weaponize our data using predictive models to determine if we are thinking wrong for the purpose of stopping crimes before they happen. What if this technology is used on political dissidents? Once these controls and mechanisms are established, how long before the mark of the beast emerges? How will you earn money if you refuse the mark, without which you will not be allowed to buy or sell? Revelations 13:16-17. Since people in the first world are already conditioned to just give away their personal information along with their freedoms and sense of privacy, Spielberg's Minority Report doesn't seem so far-fetched. Having an internet-based business is fine so far as it goes, but what would you do if they make it impossible for you to earn a living online based on your political and religious affiliations? If you do all your business online, what would you do if there's a crash of the internet system or a major security breach that steals your online proprietary information or your banking passwords? What can you do if North Korea or Iran attacks the USA with an EMP? This is why you need an offline business, and you need to start it now. You need to earn extra money now to get yourself and your family more secure, but more importantly, you need a way to earn some income if these other avenues are denied you. Having a skill you can do that you can earn an income or barter with is a good place to start. Can you grow things? Are you a master gardener? Grow vegetables and sell them at the local farmer's market. Grow heirloom varieties of vegetables, consume some, preserve some by canning, and save the seeds to sell them. People pay money for quality heirloom vegetable seeds. This could be a nice side business. Can you fix things? Appliance repair, home, honeydew projects, car repair are all great skills to have to start a business. Any of these skills can be used to barter for other goods and services. For a skill related to something you enjoy doing, such as hunting, learning how to process game meat is related to hunting and can be turned into an offline business. Many people enjoy hunting and fishing but hate processing the meat. Many fishing charter businesses include gutting and processing what their customers catch for an extra fee. Perhaps you could set up a booth nearby and offer the same service to charter boat captains for a percentage of your fee for each referral they send. Mowing lawns, weeding, cutting down, or pruning trees, going into the national forest with permit to harvest fallen trees and scrub, then cut it into firewood and sell by the cord or half cord. Pick up free pine cones, clean them, and resell them as fire starter. Christmas decorations, or turn them into natural bird feeders and sell them. Do you have a truck or a van? Help people move things. I know guys who make an extra $300 per day on the weekends alone just by helping young singles move from one apartment to another. Or they help people get furniture or large appliances home after a purchase so they don't have to pay higher delivery fees of the store. They charge extra for carting away the old furniture or appliance to the dump. Sometimes they sell appliances to a guy who repairs them and sells them. One side gig business helping another side gig business. Can you cook or bake to perfection? Become a caterer. If you can't cook, establish your own roach coach, lunch wagon route, and drive through light industrial areas during weekdays. Sell sandwiches, pop, bottled water, and snacks. You can even sell someone else's sandwiches. These are just a few examples of offline businesses you can start. The possibilities are endless. I hope this article has helped you see the importance of having a way to earn extra money as detached as possible from the threat of the growing matrix. Whether you work your offline business as your full-time job or a side gig, you need to start one now. Now I'm going to go ahead and continue reading Dare's bio, because there's some information here that I think if you're interested in this that you might want. Dare Tuitt is a retiree whose own side business is researching and writing about offline side gig businesses. Some of the businesses Dare writes about is from personal experience, having started several offline side gigs which prospered and some that did not. Dare has uncovered many unique and highly lucrative offline businesses that one can do part-time or as a short-term project to raise money fast. Dare looks for businesses that require little or no experience to do, little or no money to start, and are perfect for home workers, college students, retirees, and those looking to generate a substantial second income. To get the latest Dare Tuitt free report and recommendations for a great offline side gig, email dare at goldenpagemedia@gmail.com. So I read all that just to let you know that, you know, what's one of the things that Dare is offering is some free information. If you're interested in this, you want to go pick that up. And so you can go check that out. Again, the email is dare at goldenpagemedia@gmail.com, or just come over to edthatmatters.com and click on this link and go scroll all the way down to the bottom where the author bio is, and you can go ahead and grab that email address. So getting back to this, right? Getting back to these side gigs and side businesses and stuff like that. You know, what are you, what makes you happy? Like when you start working on something, what just thoroughly, thrills you? And if that's like going to the garage and working on wood, right? Woodworking or whatever, could you turn that into a side business? If it was something, maybe you're crafty, maybe you like to do things like, at one point my wife made jewelry, and sometimes she still does, and she really enjoys that. And she likes finding the different gems and things like that. You know, if that's something that brings you joy, maybe you can do that and you can sell, that jewelry and do it on consignment and do it in different places. There was a lady when I was on the campus who she had a side business of making hair bows, right? And she had very elaborate hair bows. And I mean, there were your basic ones, and then there was the color ones. And then, of course, there were the ones that went along with the campus that she was at. And then she had some a little bit more, elaborate ones. And she would set up during a time when, PTO was there or whatever, or parents were going to be there. And she would give a percentage to the school, but she raked in the dough. Now, of course, she would go to schools that were a little bit more affluent, and she would just rake it in. That was one of those big things. But, if you have a craft show or, even a small one, or church bazaar or something like that, where you can set up a little table and you can sell some of your things. Man, that's a great little side business to do. And so the other side of that is, I know Dare was talking about completely offline, but if you are an offline, if you had the ability to completely be offline if you needed to, but at the same time, you could use the internet to sell even more. I mean, how great would that be, right, to be able to do that? And so, find something that you love to do and just turn that into a side business where you're able to, earn a little bit of money doing those kinds of things. You never know what could happen and how that could turn into something even more lucrative out there. And so I think that's something that everybody should consider. If you have debt, a lot of the times we spend our time, we go to work or whatever we do, we come home, and we just veg out in front of the television. And sometimes that's 2, 3, 4 hours, of the evening, just sitting there in front of the television, not doing anything, not being productive. And so, so many people I know that do that. Now, what if you, instead of sitting down in front of the TV, you did something productive, you went out into your garage, you made something, you did something at the dining room table, maybe you write a book or whatever. There's all different kinds of things that you can do instead of just sitting there waiting for the next show to pop up. And, you can benefit yourself, you can benefit your family, you can pay down debt, you can also, buy preps and things like that. I mean, how beneficial would that be? So the article is entitled Prep for Hard Times, Why You Need an Offline Side Gig Business Now. And hopefully you'll go check that one out. All right, guys, that's it for episode 259. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you take something away that you can start to use right away today in your preparedness, or at least start thinking about things that you can start implementing. Situational awareness, you can start doing that right now wherever you are. And then also even thinking about a side gig business, you can start thinking about that right now as well. All right, guys, so that's it. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government grid or the grind. Until tomorrow, stay prepped and aware. Peace.